Our scripture reading this morning involves the priest Samuel anointing David to be king. But you know, there really needs to be a little bit of backstory here. When the Hebrews first entered the Promised Land, they were ruled over by a loose confederation of judges, tribal leaders, chieftains. And things were fairly chaotic. They had a priest, Eli, who was a pretty good guy, but his sons were bad news. They were corrupt, publicly corrupt. And so the people did not care for the leadership they were getting there. At the same time, there's this woman named Hannah. She's a beautiful lady and her husband's favorite wife. Her husband's least favorite wife found that she could have babies at a drop of a hat or something similar. However, Hannah was barren at a time when a woman not being able to have a child was a deeply shameful thing. And so Hannah went up to temple and prayed in earnest that she be allowed to become with child. And God heard her. And part of her prayer was a promise that if she had a child, and that child was a boy, as soon as he was weaned, she would bring him to the temple and dedicate him to the Lord. And she did this, and that baby was Samuel, who turned out to be a really good priest. However, Samuel's sons weren't so good. And so Samuel was leading the people of Israel from his position as priest. And the people of Israel were tired of getting invaded, and after every invasion, rather than having a king say, let's go kick some tail, let's go take care of these people who invaded us, having a committee meeting where they would decide what to do, and by that time half of their livestock had been carried off. So they came to Samuel and said, give us a king. So they gave him a king. His name was Saul. He's about a head taller than all the other people, ruggedly handsome. And when it came time for his coronation, they couldn't find him because he was hiding among the luggage because he did not want to be king. But they made him king, his ego took over, and God didn't care for him. God didn't care for him at all. And so God told Samuel, I know you made this guy king against his will, but he's really fouling up terribly, and I want you to go and make someone else king. A very awkward position for Samuel to be in. And here begins our reading. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you. Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, do you come peaceably? He said, peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he himself sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Are all your sons here? And Jesse said, there remains yet the youngest, but he's keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. He sent and brought him in. Now David was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. So, what's the big deal? Well, it's a pretty big deal, actually. I'll turn this off for a moment so we don't feedback. Will you remember to turn it on? Yeah. It's a pretty big deal. We just saw the anointing of a new king. We just saw a very quiet revolution in the early stages of the nation of Israel. Saul, the king, made a few critical errors in judgment. One day, they were getting ready to go into battle, and before they went into battle, they had to have a sacrifice to God. And so they're waiting on Samuel the priest to get there, da-da-da, waiting around. And the soldiers had started to wander off. So Saul had said, "I'll do the sacrifice myself." Took a lamb and poof, poof, cut it up and, "Okay, let's go." And just as they're about to go out in the field, here comes the priest. Bad move. Another time, he was supposed to sacrifice all of the livestock that they seized in this one enemy village. Supposed to sacrifice it all to God. They weren't supposed to keep any for themselves. So the town has fallen. The spoils of victory are theirs. And the priest Samuel comes along and says, "Did you sacrifice everything like God told me and I told you?" And Saul said, yeah, we did. And Samuel said, "So what's the bleating of sheep I keep hearing? What's the lowing of cattle?" And what he had done is he had sacrificed all the lame and ugly and kept all the best for himself and his soldiers. Another time after a battle, he erected a huge monument, not to God, but to himself. See, Saul, God bless him, he didn't want to be king to begin with, but Saul was out for himself. He was a man after his own success. Whereas God was looking for a man after God's own heart. God was looking for someone who would focus on godly will and try to do his best to serve God in the important position of king. But in truth, in the position of priest, in the position of farmer, in the position of anything, God was looking for people who would strive to follow. Now, God knows, God sees us, and God knows that we will strive to follow. And God knows we won't always succeed. Saul was corrupt. David was corrupt. He did some awful things as king. However, he would repent after a mistake and say, I'm sorry, God. Sometimes he'd have to be reminded. There's that whole thing with Bathsheba up on the roof, remember that? Yeah, saw another man's wife. I kind of like her. And then, when it looked like their crime was going to be known as she protruded more and more, he ended up killing the woman's husband. Yeah. I mean, that's not someone doing the will of God. So we have to put the finer point on it. God sees us in all our humanity. God sees that we aren't perfect. God sees and knows we're going to mess up sometimes. But God is always looking in our heart for our intentions. Now, this is very good news. Because for all the repenting you do, for all the praying you do, for all the pew sitting you do, you're never going to be perfect. You're never going to cross every T and dot every I. You just can't do it. It's a trap. It can't be done. But you can change who you choose to follow. You can do that. You can say, I'm going to cast aside this unhealthy appetite. I'm going to stop hanging with this crowd of people. I'm going to stop thinking like this. I'm going to try to focus on what God wants for my life. And that's what God could see in David, even when he was just this punk little shepherd out in the field. Now, I don't know how many occasions to sin there are out in the wilderness with you and a bunch of sheep and a couple of lions. But there's got to be some. I mean, we human beings are really good at finding new and different ways to sin. New and different ways just to stray off the path. And that's what sin means. It means, in archery, to miss the mark. And there's always a way to stray a little bit. You know, God's saying go over there, and you're kind of like, I'll get there. I'm kind of heading in the general direction. And this is what will happen to human beings. God knows that. God sees that in us. God looks at us, and I think sometimes when God's watching my life, God just kind of goes, oh, okay, let's see how he gets out of that one. God knows me. God knows you. God knows those struggles you're going through. And what God wants is not perfection. What God wants is perception. God wants you to be trying to perceive what is best, what is holiest, what is purest in your life. And God wants to see you making an effort to do it. Now, God sent Moses to give us 10 simple rules for being a faith community, for being a human being. And God sent prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah to remind us, get back on the path, focus back in on what is good. And then finally, God gives us a son. God gives us Jesus himself to walk the walk and talk the talk for us and blaze a trail. See, God has done so much, and prophets since Jesus too, God has done so much to lay a path for us. And it's there. You know it's there. I know it's there. And when we do the wrong thing, usually we know we're doing the wrong thing. But God sees us. He sees us little kids. Just trying to survive on the playground. Just trying to get our work done. Trying to live a good life. God sees us and loves us who we are, as we are. But even more, oh, God sees what we can be. God sees what we can be and wants only the best for us. And that's why Samuel anointed David. And that's why Solomon wrote Proverbs. And that's why Moses came off the mountain with the Ten Commandments. And that's why Jesus walked the earth. Because God sees the potential in you and me and wants nothing more than to be proud of us and wants nothing more than for us to want to be close to God. God sees you for who you are. You know, no sense hiding among the luggage. There's no sense pretending that you're something you're not. Just be what you are. A child of God. Not perfect, but trying. Not free of sin, but focused. Focused on the prize of a closer relationship with God. God loves who you are sitting in that pew right now. Or for those of you listening at home on iTunes, sitting in your computer chair. God loves you. God knows the mistakes you've made and the ways you have triumphed. God continues to be proud of you. And God continues to keep a watch looking for you as you make your way home. Now that, my friends, good news. That, my friends, is gospel. Amen.